Everybody, episode 6 of the Men of the Cave podcast.
What up?
Those sticks.
Hello.
Got a full cave tonight.
It's kind of crowded in here.
We got Steven.
What up? How's it going?
Got John.
Woo!
Got Brother Mike.
Hello.
And we got Brother Matt.
Hello.
Brother Mike and Brother Matt are fighting game experts. And of course, I'm here tonight, Anthony.
Oh, come on.
got some great topics. As always, we got Westworld.
Hello, Westy.
It's the world of the West, you know.
Yeah, we got that new Transformers trailer.
Indeed. Good stuff.
And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about fighting games. As you can see right here, we got Tekken rolling.
Tekken Tag 2.
So we'll be doing that. We'll be doing that a little bit later. Classic video games. Few topics tonight, but because we have so many people, and we're going to dive right into it. Transformers, the first night.
Last night. And the reason why it's called last night is because he did some very questionable things. Change was left in his pocket. He woke up with a Saurians. So
and a sword.
Woke up with a sword to Saurians.
So it's safe to say everyone here is a Transformers fan. We grew up with it.
Indeed. Absolutely. Indeed.
So what are we thinking about that trailer? You saw some crazy stuff in there. We saw looked like Unicron. Look like Megatron's back.
Megatron.
Got Optimus Prime. Looks like he might be bad or something. You know, no one really knows what's going on. So
he's looking for the Holy Grail.
Upon closer examination of Optimus Prime, when you look at his face and actually his eyes, you can see that they're no longer blue. They're more darkish purple, close to a red.
Perhaps. Right. Maybe so he's wearing contacts.
So it looks, you know, I mean, he's getting old, you know.
I can't see anymore, boy. So put it in my chest.
Just put it in my chest.
Please. Damn, we can do that.
So I don't know. I mean, there could be this whole thing where he has been hacked, so to speak, you know.
Ooh.
And now he's a bad guy. And what about Sir Anthony Hopkins in the Optimus Prime has left us?
Oh,
yeah. No longer guarding us.
That would be pretty dirty. Huh?
Yeah, and then you got Josh Duhamel in there and
Mark Wahlberg
and Mark both in there.
Back in it now.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Kind of trying to bridge the old movie to the new movie. So, I mean, are we gonna be disappointed if Optimus Prime turns bad?
I think not.
No.
I would like to see him be a little grittier. I mean,
I think it's time he gets his butt kicked. He's to not where a boy he don't scout, come back you know?
Anymore. Well, I mean, what was it? Revenge of the Fallen in the forest scene? I mean, that was amazing when I first saw that. I lost my shit.
That was
the whole
awesome.
Movie was okay, but that particular scene I will watch time and time again because he throws down, man.
You know, I know we're supposed to talk about the last night, but to go off on a tangent on that movie itself, it sucks that after that movie just goes downhill.
Yeah.
It's like they put everything they had into that one scene, and then the rest of the movie's like, well, I mean,
if they could have done that same scene, but
later again, in the movie, that would have been,
or even just again in the desert,
a bigger
payoff.
I think it was cool.
You know, to see him die twice in a movie would be awesome. I'm sorry. That's what I was talking about. Sorry.
Just hook him up to a car battery.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to see full out war.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
On a grand scale between Decepticons and Autobots.
No more humans at all, man.
I mean,
just let us run around with like our heads cut off or something.
I get they try to make it relatable, and that is the human element of it. But, you know, the story...
Say that one more time.
Human element?
Human element.
Sounded awesome. The 6-7 of them. But you really, when you go to see Transformers, you want to see giant robots beating the hell out of each other. That is what that thing has always been about. I mean, from even the movie when... Megatron and Optimus fight, and that's like one of the greatest scenes in cartoon history, man.
That's very true, man. Yeah. Okay, who else, and you know, maybe this might just be me, but who else is dying to see Hot Rod?
Yeah, High Rod is confirmed for this movie.
Oh, there we go, man.
He wasn't one of my favorite Transformers. I'm stuck with more of the classics like Ironhide and, you know, Jazz was one of my favorite characters. And
Jazz is your favorite. I remember you were so sad. Like, they killed him in the first movie.
Yeah. He's like, you want a piece of two? I'm like, come on, he's done. You destroyed my childhood. He's like, thank you. Thanks a lot. Power thanks down. A lot, Hugo
Weaving. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Jazz.
So,
going back to the trailer.
So what do you expect? Like, what are your expectations? Like, have you seen, how many of, has everybody seen all the movies that have come out so far? Yes?
Yes. That's a yes.
Okay, so.
Confirmation.
So do you feel like ramping up to this one, have they fallen off a little bit? You know, was of course, Transformers was epic because we actually saw a Transformers movie. I remember we went to go see that. Me, Steven, Matt,
I think we saw
it, Mike, was it all of us? Yeah, we saw it. And when we came home from that movie, we stood outside for 2 in the morning. So we were excited for that, but we felt Optimus Prime kind of got like punked, like he didn't really like, you know, he basically got his ass whipped. Yeah. And then, you know,
other than killing Bone Crusher,
which was really cool.
You see that, awesome, and you're like, damn, this dude doesn't play. And then he gets out there. I mean, of course it makes sense that your bad guy is, like, strong. How else did you lose the war, you know? Exactly. But in and of itself, like, the leader of the Autobots should be able to at least throw hand in hand with the leader of the Decepticons.
I mean, okay, you gotta admit, though, the first one was awesome. It was an epic battle.
It's a solid
movie. Like, when they're both firing at each other, and then Megatron gets hit, spins around, and re-throws his arms together. Yeah, boom. I thought that was the
shit. And it transforms into a sexy hand cannon.
Dude, dude. That's true. And then he hears Optimus Prime go, oh.
Yeah, when he hits the floor.
Yeah, dude, he's like, dude, that sucked.
He falls out of that building, he's like, oh, shit.
That sucked.
I didn't see that coming. Damn.
So then after Transformers, we have Transformers 2, which was...
Revenge of the Fallen.
And in that one, Optimus just kicks, like, complete ass.
But there was just a lot of things I didn't like about that one, because they used Devastator in the first one as a tank. And they wanted to really bring out the real Devastator with all the construction bots, but it was like, what the hell?
So it was the second release of the actual Blu-ray for Transformers. They actually corrected that. Ooh. And in the, you remember when Starscream is speaking Cybertronian, it says like, you know, all hell Megatron, whatever. Right there, the second iteration of the film, it says Brawl instead of Devastator. It says Brawl reporting in. So
nice.
They changed it like that, but for us, the guys who saw it, right then, and they were like, are you fucking kidding me? That's Devastator?
Yeah. We knew damn right.
How are you going to throw a tank out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and call it Devastator? No. Yeah.
So then we have Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon was...
a very well-written movie, man.
Yeah. Like, I liked it a lot, man.
I did. I liked it so much. I mean, they really solidified what those movies could be. And I think they built on that. With the second one, I felt like they were shooting in the dark.
I think it was...
You know, there was a lot of fan service and stuff, but there was no substance. Nothing to drive it home. You know, it's like you get an eyeful and an eye candy the whole movie, but, you know, that's all you go back to that movie for.
The thing that I hate about the second Transformers movie is when the first Transformers movie was announced, excuse me, my language is all fucked up right there. Mm-hmm. When the first movie was announced, a lot of car manufacturers didn't want their movies, they didn't want their vehicles associated with violence.
Yeah.
So Ferrari opted out. Porsche opted out, which is who Jazz was.
Which was Jazz, yeah.
You know, a lot of those vehicle makers, they didn't want their movie... they didn't want their vehicles in there. And then after the first movie,
like I said, the vehicle,
everyone was like paying that dude to have one of their cars in there.
Oh, that's,
and it kind of sucked, because
so they're pulling like a Gears of War 4, you know, trying to buy skins.
You buy these skins and you get your going, baby. Like, it sucked, dude, because I don't ever remember a Corvette Transformer. It looked cool and everything, but even though it looked cool, it still was like, bro, you could have given that hype to someone else.
It's like, look at the Camaro, dude. Like, as soon as Bumblebee came out for the first time, and the Camaros weren't even out yet, I believe.
Not at all.
That's how they skyrocketed. That car skyrocketed.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Volkswagen, they didn't want to do that. They were like, hell no, dude. You ain't going to associate our German engineering with violence.
We've already done that.
So, but no, I mean, after that, Camaro was... Chevy was like, hell yeah, man, whatever you want. We're building a new Camaro. American, how would you like to advertise it in your movie? And he was like, hey, dude, why not? And like you said, after that, Camaros are everywhere now.
Everywhere.
Dime a dozen, baby.
Every time I see one, I still make
yellow
the
yellow black ones, too.
Hell yeah.
So the Mark Wahlberg one, I saw it. Wasn't anything spectacular.
The bad guy in it was wicked.
Awesome,
dude.
Yeah.
God, yes, dude. Yes. He was wicked in it. Ooh, I liked him the best. Like, immediately the first part where he comes out of the water and he has his night vision.
It looks like he's wearing a ghillie suit.
Dude, I was like, kaboom! My robot is amazing.
Yeah.
And then he took the shot, dude, and like that body just went flying. I was like, wow, dude, like poor Ratchet, dude, you're done, dude.
Okay, so we're on the last night, and
yes,
are we excited about it? Is it, are we, you know, because it seems like they gotten progressively not as good as initial expectation. So do you think they go back to the old formula and make this one more like the first ones to get the people back? Like they realize the story's kind of like they've kind of stretched it? Or do you think they're going to just kill off Optimus Prime, insert Hot Rod, and then move forward?
I think they're going to insert Hot Rod because since there's a sword in it, maybe it'd be cool to see Starscream be the top Decepticon now, fighting with the sword, because if you remember in the comics, or I think it's the movie, or one of the cartoons, Hot Rod and Starscream fight over a sword. And eventually the sword chooses Hot Rod, and that's when Hot Rod's like, oh, cool.
Right there.
Shoot, boopadoo.
Yeah. You know, the thing that's crazy about that, well, not crazy, but it's just trying to recapture what you got out of the first movie is, you know, virtually impossible. The first movie, no matter what, when you sat there and you saw it, it was like being born again, you know, for the first time since you were a kid. You know,
here in Linkin Park and just being like, oh.
Your imagination as a kid, when you watch these shows, you're like, man, this is badass. You know, this robot is 2.5 stories tall and it's fighting for freedom and for the good of humanity and mankind.
I remember at the end of one, just to jump in there. Okay, remember at the end of one, how did every single cartoon or comic end with that one character always running away? And you see Starscream like leaving the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I was like, oh! Yeah. I remember at the time, I forgot what woman I was with. I just remember slapping her and being like, check down on this Starscream! And she's like, I don't know what that is.
You go get the popcorn.
Like, to
go to the car and wait for the movie to end.
To go back on that, it's the magic of seeing it for the first time.
That's what I'm asking. Like, was Transformers 1, the original Transformers, really that good? Or is it just because we're finally seeing it on the big screen and we just got that?
No,
I saw it the other day, man.
It is the best one to me.
It's still good. It's still really good.
Taking everything back to the beginning and looking at these actors' performances from each of the three films that they were in, I feel like that was the most organic performances that they gave. You know, Sam was really, Shia LaBeouf was really an adolescent kid, unsure about himself, wanting to, you know, court the popular chick, and it came off really good. And then just Josh Duhamel himself, you know, the way his portrayal of a military officer, you know, he wants to look out for the best of his guys, and he wants to make sure that they get home, but at the same time, you're facing an enemy that you have no idea what it is, you don't know how to hurt it, and you don't know what can hurt it. And your first encounter with them, your entire base is decimated in glorious, glorious spectacle.
I mean, funny, because I've been to real Camp Qatar, and that was not Camp Qatar.
that MH-53, you know, as soon as it transformed and let go of that chain gun, I just, like...
Well, that was the first time we had ever seen anything transform at that point.
Yeah.
We, you know, it was
Blackout came out for the first time.
I can say that all of us, when we first saw that, we were like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Yes.
I know he's a bad guy, but that's awesome.
That dude is wicked. I want his story.
Not just for that. I'll give it to Michael Bay that anytime he makes a movie that has to do anything with the military, he always gets the audio, the visual, everything that they do, he gets that perfect. Like when they opened up with those 50s on the Humvees at it, it sounded glorious. It sounded crisp. You could hear the casings and everything.
What about the
air? And then it just gets up.
Scorpion out from the side of the
plane. Oh, when the A-10s?
Oh, yes.
To find
no, the AC-130.
The AC-130, yes. Yeah. The AC-130. See all of that. That was...
That's what I mean.
It's like...
That's what I mean. That's
beautiful.
We were sitting there in the theater, you know, watching the movie, and then...
Like, I would love to have been that guy.
And he's like, Spooky 32, use 105 shells. I was all...
Yeah, single rounds. You know,
here we go.
He got it to the T, man.
So, John... Are you happy with Transformers, what they've done in the films? in total, like comparing it to the cartoon. You know, you grow up watching Transformers cartoons. They finally put it on the film. Do you go and watch all these four movies and think, you know what, they've done it a good job, they've done it justice, they didn't kill this franchise with the movies? Do you feel like that, or do you feel that you're still waiting for more?
That I'm not too sure, because I didn't grow up.
Never really growing up with the cartoons then, just as a film series, what do you think of it just on the basis of the movies?
You know what, it's pretty dope. I mean, I don't know if it honestly captures, you know, the comic books or...
Nostalgia?
Yeah, there you go. I don't get that nostalgia feeling. It's something new to me, so I mean... Seeing that and the way all guys are explaining it, I mean, it blows my mind seeing, like, robots transforming and stuff. I saw the Transformers a movie or two or a cartoon prior. But, I mean, as far as that, it didn't blow my mind, as hardcore as y'all guys, you know? So, I mean...
It'd be different genres. I mean different eras almost, too.
Yeah, that's exactly
generations.
What it is.
Those are generations. Like Pepsi.
Ooh. So, let's end it right here with this. Just real simple. Who's going to go see it? I'm going to go see it because I love all Transformers.
I'll be right there next year.
I'll probably see it, but I'm going to wait a little bit, you know. Let's see what you guys say.
That's a tactic that I'm going to probably use, too.
I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it opening day. I mean, I haven't missed a Transformers movie, so...
And if it's that good, we'll go again.
So that's 3 out of 5 in the middle of the game.
Well, you know, I saw Tiff today, and Tiffany was like, I want to hear y'all talk about that because... I don't want him turning bad. And
shout out to the sister.
She was just upset that it'd be so. I guess we'll have to wait and see, because you know the trailers always tease stuff like that.
Say, yeah. It is time Bumblebee dies. Well, sorry, like in the first movie, Bumblebee died like a little.
Dude, Michael Bay had been pitched an R-rated Bumblebee standalone movie. I don't know if he's going forward with that.
Robot sex.
How can it be R-rated?
I don't know. You can't really.
Maybe it's gonna be a pirate Bumblebee movie. R.
You can't really classify robot violence as rated R because they're not, you know, human beings. That's how you get away with it.
It's like, how can you like say I don't want my car in there because he's gonna be doing violence? It's like those jackasses.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's safe to say, I think, weirdos. That that is something that we are, as nerds, and you know, that we are looking forward to seeing it. You know, when Michael Bay makes a movie, it's all about explosions and big budget stuff. You know, the story isn't very intriguing.
He likes to push, man.
But, yeah. You know, that's why they have all these great TV shows for great intriguing storylines. So, if you haven't seen Westworld, that's where we're going to go next. Westworld is a show on HBO. It's an original series. It was a movie back in the 70s. Michael Crichton, it's his movie. Ooh. Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park, Jurassic World. And if you see hint, there you go. Hint, yeah. There you go. That's what I'm alluding to, Steven. The world, instead of it being a theme park of dinosaurs, it's a theme park set in the West. And you get to go and indulge your fantasies or your you know, if you want to kill people. Mm-hmm. They got these robots that look like humans. You can do pretty much anything hosts. You want. Yeah, you know, we call them hosts. They call them hosts. But essentially, they're just robots.
Symbiotic,
yeah, because they've evolved now. Mm-hmm. Now they're building them with actual, looks like bone structure.
Actually, believe it or not, they have. Just think of a Terminator with minus all the metal, with the real flesh on it. These things actually bleed. If you cut an arterial artery, it's gonna bleed out and die.
Yeah, man.
So you can go into this world and you can shoot anybody you want if you want. They can't. The host can't hurt you.
But it's kind of weird though, because if the host do shoot you, it's like you get hit by
like a paintball
like
or something,
a hard compressed piece of air. Oh wow! I don't want to say that that's what it is, but it'll actually take your shoulder back. It took one character back.
It'll sting you.
And then he pulled out his gun and took him down. And he goes, "I thought you said we can't get hurt here."
It was like a little bruise. Yeah.
Wow.
And you
can't die. Yeah. You know, but where would the fun be? Because it's cool. Because like the way I can explain it, it's like. To me, when I watched it, I got really grasped into it because it reminded me of a hardcore like Skyrim or Fallout. Because as soon as you get off the train, you start getting prompted with quests.
It's like Red Dead Redemption.
It was so awesome, man. There you go. Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. You know, as soon as you get off the train, you're barely starting to walk into that town, you know, a guy will bump your shoulder and either you turn around and he goes for his gun.
Yeah.
You know, right then and there, you take him down or you keep going, you know. And then there was another cat that fell off a wagon. And the guy goes, no, don't pick that dude up. As soon as he picked that dude up, he was like, hey, man, you all right? He goes, oh man, if you follow me, I can show you where gold is. It's like he activated quests.
It's like a quest.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It like I got sucked into it because I would love to go there. Just for the quest.
Well, I'll
mention also for the other dirtiness. But you know, but it's the mindset of this cat that made this. It's phenomenal, man. I almost wish it was real.
Well, all of the hosts are set to run on a routine. Every single
I think they each have like what, 1,000
something like that.
1,000 scenarios.
It's all free. It's all pre-programmed, and they all start off at the same place. So maybe like Steven said, the gentleman falls, and you pick him up, and then he prompts you with the quest. Or a girl's packing her little bag on the horse, and she drops a can of milk. If you go pick it up, then you can get sucked into her quest. So it's just like a video game, but it's real life. And like you can from what I understood is the gun is a heat sensing gun. And if it doesn't sense heat, the host, it'll kill him. If it senses heat, a human, it won't. That's from what I've read. I don't remember the first episode if they ever talk about that.
In the actual show, they do not ever explain that, and that's what blows people's minds. But the great thing is, you know, the reason why we have books and we have everything else, they explain that. And that makes a huge lot of sense because, you know, technically, yeah, they are a machine, like I said, but they don't have a heat core in them that actually heats them up. It's so cool because during the show, you know, of course they're walking around at the facility and shit like that, and they show you in the background they're making these hosts, you know, and it's cool because at one point the host is there and they have the heart and then they inject it with what I guess memory
like
what,
their blood or but something. But yeah,
and then the whole body's white, and then as soon as the heart starts pumping, dude, like the skin all around starts taking color. And taking effect, and it's awesome, man. But it's cool because each host is personally designed. Like, there's no two people that look the same in there. Yeah. And it's cool because there's badass Indians in there, dude. Like, there's all kinds of crazy Koreans. And here's a cool thing. Like, as soon as you get off the train, there's only one way to get into the park. That's the train.
Yeah.
Like, the first town you're in, that's like, maybe, like, you know what, here, I'll just throw this out there if you're like me. It's like maybe you're level 1 through 15.
Okay.
As you start going more and more out, the level starts getting higher, like 1 to 25, 1 to 30, 1 to 50, you know what I mean? Because there's one there who's done it all. He's been all the way to the outer rim.
No lifer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like fucking wild, man. And this dude, he don't give a damn.
Well, John, I was watching it already. I think, Steven, I don't know if you were watching it when I saw, or I got you into it or
not. No, I think we started.
And then John hadn't watched it, and so John binged it.
So
John, what did you think when you saw the show?
It like instantly sucked me in. I mean, my mind was just like,
yeah.
The very first episode, I'll run that scenario through you. So what it ends up happening is you this guy wakes up, and you're following this character, right? You don't know if he's human or you don't know anything about the host. So you find out, you know, he ends up being a host and, you know, he runs through this program. And I mean, it just blows my mind. Yeah.
So what's very interesting. Go ahead, Matt.
Was he talking about Cyclops?
We're talking about the guy that.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, now that you bring that up, the cast is awesome. I mean, you have the guy that played Cyclops in the X-Men movies. You have Ed Harris.
Yeah,
the Men in Black.
Yeah, Ed Harris.
And then you have
the main cat himself, man.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins. Sir Anthony Hopkins. And you have the guy from the black guy Beatty from Mockingjay.
Catching Fire,
whatever. Yeah, you know,
Jay, all that.
Yeah, all of those. Yeah. So it's an awesome cast. Now,
The main chick as well. She was the chick that had an affair with Marilyn Manson, and that broke up Marilyn Manson and Vito Von Teese.
Dang.
I know this because of my girlfriend.
Which chick?
Which chick? The main chick.
The blonde?
The devil in the blue dress, yeah.
Oh, man.
Dang. That sounds bad. That's the devil in the blue dress.
Oh, that's what I call her. Yeah,
yeah, okay. So, and you know what?
Wrote that in? That's
and, so through this experience, you have these hosts, and the funny thing is there was two. There was two creators, which was Arnold and Sir Anthony Hopkins, right?
Which name is Ford.
Ford. And they were friends.
Robert Ford, correct?
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
They were friends, and they worked on this park together about 34 years from when you start watching the show. And so one of them, you know, Ford is like, this is a park. Let's get it open. Let's do. We're creating. Now, Arnold, as he started to chill with these hosts and make them, he wanted to make them aware. He was trying to get them to unlock their consciousness, to make them conscious.
To make them become real.
Sentient.
Yeah. Correct.
Real, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And Ford was like, no, like, this isn't what we're trying to do. We're trying to...
Bring money into this park.
And so, as you watch this show, you see... The thing that's so awesome is the editing. Just the story. It's the way they edit it. It's the way it's shot. It's the way they tell the story.
Real genius.
So you're watching it, and you see the man in black. Now, one of the very first episodes, he rapes
the devil in the blue dress.
And she's a real sweet, innocent girl. And he just goes and he kills Cyclops character. Teddy. Yeah, he kills Teddy is what he... And that's because Teddy's shooting him. And he's like... He goes, I'll let you pull the trigger.
I like how he goes, you know, I'll let you pull the trigger first.
Yes.
That's like dirty, dude.
And so he tells
what's her name? Beatrice?
Beatrice.
Yeah.
Devil in the Blue Dress is Beatrice.
Is it Beatrice? Okay.
Yeah.
So he takes her and he's like, why do we always meet like this? Takes her into the barn and rapes her. You're just like, man, this dude's a fucking dick. So then you meet this other character. It's a young cat. It's the one that's with, it's a guy that's been there before, and he's the one that told the guy he's going to send you on a quest. Like, it's not even worth it. So this cat's been there before, and he brings this guy, Billy. And Billy is going to marry his sister, and it's kind of their weekend away. This is...
They're like bachelor party.
Yeah, and it's $40,000 a day to be in this park.
Oh, wow.
But the other guy, he knows somebody. He gets a hookup. And that's why they're in there.
Well, yeah, because he's also... They're looking... He's in there to take over the company. He's the one in there to tell them if they want to buy it or not. If they want to take Westworld and buy it.
From Ford.
So, you know, whatever it is. So... Man, it sucks. Oh, like,
wait,
I
okay, wait, wait. But when I say Ford, not like the
here, let's
the,
let's the just do this.
We know, we know.
Okay. Dude, this show is.
I almost don't even want to do
yes,
this.
Yes, that's what I'm about to say. Like, this show is so
I
good.
I'm looking at these guys' faces and they're looking like intrigued.
Yeah.
Like
it
I almost don't want to. Really, I almost don't want to ruin it for you because
it blows up.
So check this out. I have an HBO Go password.
Okay.
And y'all can borrow it.
I have no internet.
So I'll say more about if you see the similarities between Westworld, just the name, and Jurassic World. So you know what, you kind of know what's going to happen, right? You kind of know that the creatures in the park are going to run wild and something's going to be bad. But it doesn't even matter that you know that. It's how Jurassic World, whenever...
It's just animal nature.
Yeah, well, yeah, correct. But yeah. And you don't feel bad for the dinosaurs.
Not at all.
Right?
No. You don't feel bad for the people. Like, you're done,
I
shouldn't
I don't feel
there.
Bad for the people either. They pick up guns.
Westworld. The storyline is so good, you can actually start feeling for the hosts. It is very strange.
I felt for the host when I saw Cyclops get shot. There's a bit of nudity in there. Guy and girls to watch.
A little bit. Let's,
I'm trying to get this in suspense.
Smear
jumpies
all over the
dude.
There's
tits
everywhere.
Yeah. So you even see the guy who's building the titties. He's
like,
not bouncy enough.
Yeah. So, hey, but you know what's real funny? It's what the workers do to
it's weird because you can't have sex with a host. Guy and girl can both have sex with the host.
Yeah.
They get off on the same, you know. The way I saw it, and I was talking, of course, Jess, and I was like, would you have sex with a male host? She's like, no, you know, that's wrong, that's weird. And I was like, weird, think about it. It's a guy that's never going to stop. He's going to pound you until you were done. And she goes, oh, okay, well, yeah. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, man, but I got like a girl that's going to be dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so you can just imagine. It's just crazy.
Westworld.
You know what I'm
saying? Worst of ways.
What we'll do is
we'll
let Mike and Matt check this show out, and maybe like in a couple of weeks we'll reconvene and then we can really just spoil the shit out of it.
I would love to, man. That show sounds very, very intriguing.
It is. It's
deep on so many levels, just from what you described, and that's because I haven't even seen the shit yet.
It's enough.
Yeah, man, it's so awesome, man. In that one episode when Billy comes out, because I like Billy. He's an awesome character,
mm-hmm.
And he's off the train, off the shuttle to get into just the actual place itself. They go up there, you know, they open up a door for him, and you're able to pick what costumes you want, weapons you want, you know,
what your outfit
to the T. I guess you forward them your sizes or something because they have everything for you, and it's so cool because And I don't know if I'm the only one who caught this. Question. But yeah, what's up?
Are you physically there or are you mentally there? No, you're physically there. Physically there.
Okay. So check this out. And I don't know if you two caught this or not. All the clothes and stuff that were on there, all the weapons and stuff, everything was one side was white and white clothes. And the other side was all dark and gray.
Yeah.
So you could choose to either be good or bad. Damn. If I'm the only one, maybe I'm the only one who caught that because, you know, I'm a video game person. But I was just like, that's dirty. Because at the end, right before he gets on, she goes, oh, you're dressed up. You look nice. She goes, well, there's one more thing. And he turns around and there's nothing but like Stetsons. And then, of course, nothing but black Stetsons and black hats. And I'm like, dude, he's gonna choose white. Sure enough, dude, he has a white hat on.
You know what's
and his
crazy?
Buddy is all black. Black.
You know what's crazy? You just blew my mind right there. But like later on.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's fucking awesome, man. I'm telling you.
I can't even wait, dude.
Dude, like you'll enjoy. If you want to come over this weekend and watch it, we'll watch it, man.
Already.
Drink some beers, play some board games.
And that sounds awesome. That sounds like a good time.
Speaking of board games, how'd you have the other night?
I had a really good time. I first got to play that game.
Explain what game you're talking about, brother.
Zombicide. We went to Sweet's house and we played this video game. It's not a video game, I'm sorry. It's a board game. In this board game, it is not like a conventional board game where everyone plays against each other in like Monopoly or things like that. This game is every single player
team-based.
Is together against the board. Every move that you make to you.
Not so kindly.
And it's not cool, dude. It's not
cool.
So
it's like a... Or everything you do, it counters back to
it reacts to your moves. Everybody gets a turn. That's the big guys that blow up.
The game in and of itself comes with four standard types by two walkers.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a runner. The runner moves two spaces.
That's dirty.
And then there's abomination. The abomination moves one step at a time, but you can only kill it with a level 3 weapon.
Basically, the
it's pretty much nemesis of the board. You can only kill it with a Molotov, or if your character is naturally amped to do so.
So is there like a standard version? Is there like DLC or
so
something?
So the original version that I bought was only 6 characters, and it had about 32 zombies, something like that. And it came with 9 tiles to make a world.
Oh, wow.
And you can shape them in any way that you choose to do so
as long as it structurally makes sense.
Gotcha. You don't want to have a cul-de-sac that goes nowhere with no entrance to it. Yeah.
Well, or like a 4-square room that's no entrance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So that's the standard game.
So it's never the same.
So what about characters?
Whatever your mind can make up. And yeah.
Based upon what you can do with the game.
But the point, I think he was trying to meet on expansion packs.
I was going to that. Yeah, there are... The base game is 6 players. The next expansion is called Toxic City Mall. And it adds a mall to the city.
Damn.
Wow. Now, which we all know malls... We've seen...
And the apocalypse are just death traps.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Okay, so that's pretty cool. Keep saying
Toxic City Mall adds very specific rules and zombies to the formula. These zombies are toxic like the board... Like the packaging suggests. You cannot kill these zombies unless you're wearing a gas mask.
Or
in close quarters, you cannot kill them unless you have a gas mask. When you kill them, they emit toxic fumes, which damages heroes and any companions they have.
Any hero gets hit twice, you're done.
Wow, that's pretty tough. So you got to play smart.
Very much so. And you have to work together. That is the main thing.
See, that's a good thing. DLC, or, I mean, I'm sorry. I'll call it DLC.
No, you're fine.
It will expand to the normal game.
For those that don't know, DLC is something that is with video games. It's downloadable content. It's how you expand a game versus with a board game in and of itself. It is an expansion. So on that expansion to the game, you add characters, you add zombies, it adds weapons, and then it adds more tiles.
Man, that's awesome. What is the name of this game again?
Zombicide. So yeah. That's the second expansion. The next one that
I might have to look up on my phone here in a bit, but I swear there used to be a game like that, a cell phone game. Maybe that's what it was.
Plague, something like that. But it works in the opposite fashion, whereas you are a virus infecting the world.
Ooh. So let me just say, when I got to finally play this game with these guys, I think there was about, 30 characters that they have now?
So I started the game. The game starts at 6. The next expansion adds 4. The one I bought after that was another 6 characters, and then so on and so on and so on. But as of right now, we have about 32 characters to choose from.
All different skill sets, all different weapon sets.
Yeah.
So does that mean 32 players can play at once?
No, or is it I don't have that many
tiles.
You have tiles to adequate. But I don't have enough zombies to occupy that much space. Plus, 32 is kind of a big number to get for all.
We, okay, to go let me just say this: with us playing, I think it was six.
There were six of us,
and with just the right characters, we kind of kicked that game's ass.
Nice, you know, nice.
But we got lucky. I got the holy frying pan, and I got the chainsaw.
It must got some wicked stuff in
going
it.
Going off of what he said, the holy frying pan. There are power weapons, things that are intense. You know, one of them is a 36-inch blade chainsaw. That's pretty awesome. You know, another one is a lightsaber. It's pretty crazy how you would figure, how does a lightsaber come into this? But yeah, there's a lightsaber in there, and it can kill an abomination.
So are some of those weapons usually come with the expandable contact?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, okay. You can add, like, the holy frying pan adds three more dice to your roll. The weapon, the chainsaw, comes with, like, five dice, right? And that's how many chances you get to kill five zombies. Like, if you roll enough to kill them. You know, I think the number is a...
Five? You need a five or a six to kill.
So, if all those dice hit five...
With that.
That's still kind of hard to roll.
Yeah, it's hard to roll, but when you get it's all the more better, dude.
Yeah, you massacre basically those zombies. But you add the holy frying pan to it, it gives you three more dice. So you get a chance to kill eight. And, dude, some of these rolls were pretty solid, man. I was mowing shit down. It was awesome,
nice,
dude.
Nice.
Yeah. You know? It's a fun game, and I'm glad I got to experience it with the people I did.
So who's the best character?
Oh man, a lot of the different characters.
The best
are
character,
awesome.
So just straight up best character out of all.
The best character depends upon your playstyle.
Oh,
how do you want to play? Do you want to be melee? There's characters for that. Do you want to be range? There's characters for that. Do you want to be a pack leader of dogs? There's characters for that.
Dirty.
Like I have German Shepherds, Blue Heelers, and American Bulldogs. And they all do special shit. And you can become a pack leader and just have a horde of dogs with you.
Caesar, what is his name? Caesar, the dog.
Oh,
Caesar,
dog,
the dog whisperer.
No, he's the calm.
To the zombies.
Roll five. Get it.
Get it. So, yeah, man, it's a pretty sick game. A lot of expansions to it. I have a lot of shit for it. And one of the expansions that I do have is Black Plague. And that one is awesome. It takes place,
dirty,
like, in the Dark Ages.
That's
so
sick.
There's, like, elves, there's dwarves, there's
you
magic.
Be a knight.
Yeah. Barbarian. It's awesome, man.
That's sick.
It's awesome.
It's a fun game, dude, and it's cool to play with a lot of your friends. You know, check it out once. I mean, read up a little bit on it, and if you're interested in what we just told you, I mean, it's so much more.
That's
awesome. Yeah, so, we always nerding out like crazy, all the guys here. We play all kinds of things. We could talk forever about everything
about
we play.
The games.
But luckily, we saved enough time to actually talk for almost an hour about just games.
Okay.
And in particular, fighting games.
Mortal Kombat.
Now, for people that have, people that know us, and for people that don't know us, me, Mike, Matt, and Steven have known each other for a long time.
At least
15 years.
Yeah.
I think I
was like 15 when we met, and they started land gaming and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? No, maybe,
14, 15.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. The
Unreal
Championship.
Yeah, because I was 16. I had the car by then.
Yeah.
When I beta tested,
yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
We know all about GT.
That was a different type of game. Let's move on.
So we played all kinds of games, and you've heard us talk on here frequently about classic games, and we've mentioned many times that we wish Mike and Matt were here so that we could talk about them, because most of these we played together. I know we three played them together, me, Mike, and Matt, because we're brothers.
Yes.
And then Steven played a lot of them too. And John plays a lot of the games that we played back then, especially with the fighting games. So, I mean, Tekken, Street Fighter, you know, Rival Schools.
Those are good, man.
You know, Bloody Roar, Project Justice.
Yeah.
Bloody Roar was dirty.
Eternal Champions.
Dead or Alive.
King of Fighters.
Oh man, KOF.
Samurai Showdown.
Samurai Showdown.
Soul Calibur.
Art of Fighting.
You know, we've played
Fatal Fucking Fury.
We even played Star Wars Masters of the Tirith Kasi,
which was dog shit, but we love Star Wars so much we rented it twice, dude.
Yeah,
so we're gonna try to talk about all of these actually. That's why we save so much time. For just this topic, and I know usually we do six topics, but we're basically going to use three topics worth on the fighting game. So, Matt, Mike, let's start with Mike.
Okay.
Mike, my brother Mike here, if you don't know, he's really good at fighting games. He's really good at Street Fighter.
He is my sensei at Street Fighter.
Yes, he is. Matt is really good at Tekken. I suck at. I mean, I don't suck, but I'm nowhere near that level because I play a bunch of other.
You just
other
didn't games. Put in the work.
I just didn't. Like, I just.
You would have. You would be good, dude.
The one time
I dick.
You can't. Yeah. Yeah. The
one time
ultimate punch.
The one time I put in the time was when I learned Cammy. Yeah, just to beat, just to beat Mitch's Blanca,
and you weren't that bad, you like,
yeah, your Cammy was good, respectable,
pretty solid.
So, so let's just, you know, Mike, what is it about Street Fighter? You know, we'll go into all the other games once we get the base laid down, but Street Fighter, what is it about it?
I remember being a kid and just seeing the arcade scene, man, and seeing all these guys crowded around this one arcade cabinet, and you know, Street Fighter 2, and the thing that caught me the most was. These guys were just doing super moves, which I had never seen, like the fireballs, of course, Dragon Punch. But the one thing that really stood out to me was the guy who was using Zangief, and this dude was just... the move was called Spinning Pile Driver. So basically, he grabs you, he jumps and spins and slams your ass into the ground. And this guy was just doing it on command. And back in the day, a lot of people were using, you know, the more flexible characters, Blanca, you know, Honda, Ryuken, and just... more flashy stuff. This one guy picked this wall of a Russian and just made you pay for it every time. And I remember seeing this stuff and just being like, I want to do some of these things. You know, seeing that, and then when I learned you could combo, you know, it ended up that, it turns out that that was just a glitch that the programmers left into the game. But there was a such thing called hit stun. You can jump in and hit him with a hard punch, and basically it's how long it takes for the character to recover from your attack. So, it lingers for a while. So, a guy jumped in, he hit a hard punch with Guile, crouching medium punch, sonic boom, and then the spinning back fist. And it's a four-hit combo. It's pretty simple nowadays compared to what, you know, the types of shit you can do. But seeing that being pulled off, like, on the arcade cabinet.
On the old one, yeah.
On the old school shit, I was like, man, this I didn't understand it, but it was so intriguing. You know, then through the years, kind of just learning how to execute and, you know, training, timing, and you just grow to love characters. It's still one of my favorite games. It's still solid. The art style, the music, man. Like, some of those themes are just classic.
Definitely.
Know? You know?
Definitely. So, Matt, Matt, with Tekken, I know... The only reason I... Because I know you played Tekken the way Mike played Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And Tekken's a little... It's a little bit newer compared to Street Fighter. So, what is it specifically about Tekken that you like?
The thing I love about Tekken... Oh, yeah, man. It's quite a bit, but... just to start off, Tekken is a game where it has a system that's common with what you can see. You know, in your line of sight, you see, if you're going to fight someone, you see their whole body, you know, their head, their chest, and their legs. Tekken has a system that recognizes high attacks, mid attacks, and low attacks, you know, hit them in the head, hit them in the chest, hit them in the legs. And the thing that makes it so unique and so just beautiful to see to me is that most of these fighting styles that these characters use in this game are based off of actual martial arts. Not only that, I like getting in someone's head. You know, you start hitting them a few times in the head, and then they start to just block their face. Well, then you go for the legs, and when they go down, that's when you hit them in the chest. You just mix it up, and you make it to where your assault is more than what they can defend. And once you do that successfully, the payoff is beautiful because it looks like it's a seamless transition of fist to the face, foot to the ass, and complete beatdown. It's a good thing to see, and it's a good thing to feel.
So, I know, being your brother, I know you like Armored King.
Oh, yeah. Armored King is my favorite. The thing about... I'm sorry if you were going to go on with that, but let me just go ahead with this. The thing about Armored King is that I wasn't 2 years old. I was about 6 years old. We went to Poncho's. And I remember when we walked into Poncho's, is an old Mexican. Poncho's is an old Mexican restaurant that was awesome.
It's an old Mexican buffet that was cheap, and we love it. Okay,
raise the flag, and they walk away and like, no, get back here.
Yeah. So we went there, and we would eat. You know, all of us, the whole family, and whatnot. And I remember after that, they had a Tekken tag. I mean, they had a Tekken 2.
They did have a Tekken 2 cabinet.
So I remember I finished my food, and I told my mom if I could have a quarter. She's like, yeah, I mean, this was button mashing days, you know what I mean? So I went, put my quarter in, it says, pick your character, and I started looking through to see what was available to choose from, and I see a dude with the Jaguar mask, and I was like, God, that guy looks badass. Well, I go a little further to the side, and there's a guy in a Jaguar mask with fucking spikes on his shoulders. I was like, dude, you can't beat that. I picked that, and ever since then, dude, that's been my favorite character.
Upgrade.
Yeah. So you know what? Let's get a little bit, because we're live streaming. We got three people, so let's try to hold on to these three people. So What about okay? Tekken. You use Armored King and
June.
Okay,
for Tekken Tag 2.
So give me what your most. Give me one of your favorite combos to use.
Oh my goodness, it's kind of crazy.
You have to set it. Okay, I'm gonna.
Yeah, you would have to. You'd have to like see it to believe it. But Armored King will throw a vicious uppercut, you know, right to the face, and as they go in the air, he'll switch out. He'll tag out with June, and she comes running in past him. She'll kick him in the back as they're coming down. They go flipping, right? So from there, she'll do two hits and spin like with a backhand and elbow him into the ground. And as they're into the ground, Armor King does that hardcore lucha libre, you know what I mean? He jumps off of like a handspring and an elbow drop. And then she'll just like hard kick them straight into the air. They just go flying. And it just looks so pretty. Once you get everything down and correct, it's just awesome, man.
It's a thing of beauty to watch somebody who knows how to control a player in Tekken, because Tekken is one game where there are so many situations and so many moves to deal with so many situations.
Correct.
It's almost an infinite way to play a match.
What I love about Tekken is that it's three-dimensional. You know, you're not just, you know, that's, and with those type of games, I have a fighting chance, but with, like, Street Fighter, that's what I couldn't do, is, like, a sidestep over a Hadouken, you know? And that figuring out that gameplay, it was a whole different challenge for me. But I mean, as far as Tekken wise, I mean, Lei Wulong in Martial Law, those are my two babies right there.
So we're gonna do something kind of crazy here. This is a first time thing, because we have three, you know, all of us like fighting games. We actually have Tekken set up, as you can see.
Tekken Tag,
and
it has begun.
We
have our own
Tekken. So we are gonna have my two brothers. Go ahead and play this while we're talking, and they can kind of explain
what's going on
with their strategies and
commentators,
you know, commentating and stuff like that. So we're actually gonna do this while we continue to talk, because
I need my hands. I'm putting the mic down.
That's fine. We have members of the podcast here that are not actually, and I'm sorry that this is crooked, but I'm at a weird angle because usually we don't use the TV while we record this. So.
I'm going to commentate this whole entire
here. Also, real quick, this arcade stick is actually limited edition. Ooh. There's only 2,000 of these made.
Ooh,
and
2,000.
Yeah, there's only 2,000 of these made, and this is Xbox One edition. It's pretty awesome. So we're going to put this to show
okay.
for you guys.
Okay, so since we're live, we have a good friend of ours named Gilbert.
Gil
works with us at AT&T, and he listens to our podcast. He loves it. He wants to sit in. He will sit in. I will get him in here.
He
wants to know what y'all think of the Street Fighter X Tekken game that came out a while back.
Ooh. Man, that game's fun. I mean, I've had fun with it, and maybe it's just because me and Matt played on a team, but I have a good time when I play it.
Matt?
You're talking about Tekken X
Street Fighter? The Street Fighter Cross Tekken game, to me, I am a big fan of Tekken. So the Street Fighter aspect of it was fun. It is cool. But I would like to see it more on the Tekken version of it, which they are going to do at a later time. They just don't want to compete with Street Fighter V, with Tekken 7 that's going to come out in a few months. And they certainly don't want to compete with themselves. So, once that does come out, we'll be on top of that.
Oh, pretty much.
So this is what we're going to do. So the brothers can play, and y'all can see, like how good these guys are at this game.
And here we go. We have the Incredible Hulk that's armored up against Armored King currently. The Hulk seems to be just, you know, doing his Hulk thing.
So,
Hey,
John, what we're going to do is, when I talk to Mike or ask him, you're going to hold the mic for him so he can talk. Ooh. Steven, you're going to do the same for Matt.
Okay, too easy.
Okay. So, Mike, who are you using, Mike?
Hot Piece and Ancient Ogre.
Hey, Hot Piece.
And Matt, who are you using?
Armored King and June.
Okay, so y'all play against each other a lot. So, Mike, what is your typical strategy against Matt?
Oh, you gotta stop Matt before he gets started, dude. Like he's
pretty savage. Oh, we got a KO already.
Yeah, Matt, you got me, dude. You let him get running, and it's bad news for you.
And so, Matt, what's difficult about playing against Mike?
The thing about Mike is he is completely unpredictable. He just when you think you've got it down, he does some crazy shit that you didn't even see coming, and now you're paying for it.
So I know y'all go at it at Tekken and a lot, but and I know that those matches can go either way, but at Street Fighter, who's the king of Street Fighter?
Pants down, dude. That's Mike. I can't, I can try to hold my own, but no, man, there's times where that guy is just, he is on it, and there's nothing I can do.
And just so that you know, I do have Soul Calibur, so we'll be talking Soul Calibur later, and we'll boot that one up as well in live stream, but I mean, I love playing fighting games with my brothers, even though they always kick my ass. I did find out that the more I played against, especially Mike at Street Fighter, the better I got. And he would always tell me, like, you're getting better, you're getting better. But I just, I play too many games to just focus on one. So it looks like... So here we go, final round. And these two play against each other a lot. And when I mean a lot, I want to say probably...
That was a sick combo, dude. We tried to get together at least once, dude. Oh, like, that was dirty.
Probably they've logged about 100,000 hours.
Oh, you're not going nowhere.
The Hulk's going down. The Hulk is down. Oh! Perfect, right in your pants. What would you like to say, man?
I tried, man.
So Mike, how did that one get away from you?
He got started, man. And once he, like I said, once he gets going, he has the combos to just keep you where he needs you to finish it, man.
That snowball effect.
It's, you know, pretty much. And the thing is, when Yoki's in it, that's like the situation where you have to get off the floor. There's so much danger in that situation itself. Like, you can be bounded, you can be comboed. It's just, you have to guess right or you're going to get fucked up.
I'm on my freaking Wi-Fi, so we can live stream this shit like crazy. So... Let's get Matt against John here.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh.
Here
we go.
I want to bring you in the mic and
see and see a little bit different guys going at it. So, all
right, let's see.
So they're going through the character selection screen. So while they do that, Mike, let's.
Yeah,
dude.
WrestleMania.
Okay. Get crazy. WrestleMania. Okay, here we go. Let's talk about the different variations of Street Fighter. Okay. There are a lot of Street Fighter games.
Very, 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 very true.
And which Street Fighter games? Which one is your favorite, and which one's the most technical?
Third Strike, man, hands down.
I can honestly say that for him, the answer would be Third Strike on both of those, technicality and his favorite.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the reason why I like it. It's a simple 2D, simple play, not 3D sidestep fighting game, but it makes you want to anticipate your opponent's moves, because once you do that and you learn how to parry, their offense becomes your offense. And, you know, it's a very, very, very intriguing game. One of my favorites, man, to this day.
Senor Matt is using the dual kitties, while the other one is using...
Ancient Chinese Secret.
Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee?
Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee for John?
It's pretty spot on.
Who are your favorite characters to use on Street Fighter?
Ryu, man, like, hands down, he's my favorite character, I think, of all times.
Hey, Kyo, which brother are you wanting to know about? Because I got both of them. Does your bro do the double tap technique when he plays on arcade stick? Oh, okay, I guess Matt. When he plays on arcade stick for the 2D fighting games.
What? I'm a little unfamiliar with a double tap technique. What exactly is that? If you could elaborate on that for me.
Yeah, Gil, if you can just let me know exactly what that double tap technique is that you are referring to, buddy.
Yeah, that one sounds.
And so we're gonna go. So you use.
Ryu. Yeah, I like Ryu. I mean, a lot of the classic characters, man. In Third Strike, speaking as far as the newer characters, Dudley, man. Dudley, he's a European boxer, and the way they animated him, it just looks so mean, but so pristine and clean, you know? It's really a thing. Like, if somebody knows how to use these characters, like, it's a really beautiful thing to watch. Alex is really cool. I like the Chun. Matt likes Urien, which is one of the awesome, like, one of the best character designs Capcom has made. Even though he rocks the banana hammock when he fights. But,
banana hammock.
Yeah.
Personally, I've always been like a Ryu Ken guy. Although I did dabble with Guile a little bit, and he was actually pretty cool. And of course, I went crazy on Cammy for like months, just learning how to do all of her stuff just to beat Blanca, because that's his kryptonite.
I mean, some of the more wrestler characters like Alex, I mean, it's fun just to fucking throw people around, man. Like with Geef. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like powerhouse characters that become walls and then make you make mistakes, you know? Stuff like that.
So where are we sitting at right now? We got one round and one round. John
one
is
and one. Yeah.
John's on the left. Matt always is gonna be Armored King or King. So that's Matt stomping on John right now.
Oh no!
Dirty.
Oh man!
What is this WrestleMania?
What was that?
Walker ass baby.
That was dirty. Another low. I gotta take my game up a higher.
So what's the next? What's the newest Tekken that's out?
Seven will come out.
So seven's coming out. What are we looking forward to in seven?
In seven, I'm definitely looking forward to a bigger character variety, and having to actually make my grabs count. You know, the thing about it is, in this version of the game, you don't grabs are permitted, but in the other one, you have to make it count. You know.
And it is over, Hissies.
It is over. So we've showed a couple of matches here, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna step away from the live. Or you know what, man, we got three people watching right now. We'll stick to the live. So let's talk, you know, now we talked a little bit in depth about Street Fighter, we talked a little bit in depth about Tekken. Let's go into some of our other favorite fighting games. Let's talk about Soul Calibur.
Oh my gosh. You know, the thing about Soul Calibur is the same situation, man. Soul Calibur, the first one, was at Poncho's. I asked for a quarter, went for the character select, and I saw a dude. Not the thing that I based my pick off of, not only was the look, but was the name. This motherfucker's called Nightmare.
Nightmare.
I was like, dude, how can you not...
That giant buster sword.
I was like, how can you not beat this dude? I gotta beat this guy. And then to make matters worse, his sword has a fucking eye in it.
Yes.
I was like, dude, that's my dude. So yeah, man, not my main, but one of my favorite characters to play that I have a lot of fun as is Nightmare. I like what he can do, his stances, the way he punishes, and his grabs. His grabs are like...
His grabs are pretty dirty.
His grabs are like, hey, I'm an asshole. I'm going to show you I'm an asshole, too.
With his big old arm, I guess.
Yeah.
So Gilbert is saying it's when you roll your middle and index finger on a single arcade button to increase your button input chances. A lot of pro gamers use that technique. For instance, Daigo, who's known for Street Fighter.
Double tapping like that, like you were referring to, yes, that is that's good for when you want to do a DHC, which is a delayed hyper combo cancel. So when you throw like a jumping heavy kick, down medium kick, and then a fireball, you would roll it for the second roll of the stick itself to get the second fireball super off. So yeah, I don't use that technique for Tekken, but I do use it for Marvel vs. Capcom 3 because Taskmaster, when you do his super combo, rolling the hits like that, it does get you a little bit extra damage, and he's actually my favorite character in that game.
What do you think about Infinite coming out?
Oh man, Infinite looks really cool. The thing about it is they're, like we have found out, the character selection for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is going to roll heavily off of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. So characters like Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel. Groot, the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Avengers, those characters are going to be in it, which is surprisingly and refreshingly awesome for Marvel.
It's new characters.
Yeah. But the thing is, for Capcom, they're hoping to reinvigorate older franchises, and this could be a perfect place for them to do that.
To put in Cable, if they want to.
The thing is, X-Men weren't going to be in it because of how Marvel doesn't have the rights for Fox.
Yeah.
But they confirmed that X-Men, not all of them, but some of them will be downloadable content with Fantastic Four characters such as Doctor Doom, possibly Super Scroll. But the thing
that sounds a lot like the Marvel versus that
just came out.
No, the old game that we used to play at Walmart.
Marvel Superheroes.
Where they fought the Infinity Stones.
With the gems and
that's
shit.
That's the thing, they're bringing that back, and it's supposed to act like a groove system, basically augmenting your character to have certain powers, like if it's a power gem, the character's stronger, if it's a time gem, super fast.
Yeah.
They haven't revealed any other gems or what they're going to do, but I do like that they brought that back. That was one of my favorite
systems.
Dude,
that was sweet, dude. It had some awesome characters.
It was really cool, and certain gems helped out certain characters in such a way, like the power gem gave Spider-Man a duplicate to where you can attack from both sides.
Yeah, and it was fast too, man.
Really cool. Like Psylocke would make multiples.
That was at Walmart, I remember.
Yeah, I would walk over there and play that damn thing. They ate a lot of my quarters, man.
Walmart was a stomping ground for a lot of arcade cabinets, like Battletoads, Alien vs. Predator, and like he said, Marvel Superheroes. You know, it was good stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Fonzie's saying that they need to remake X-Men vs. Street Fighter.
You pretty much get that with MVC, although it's not the same style, just because it's a lot faster there's a lot more going on, and your inputs have to be like super crisp.
On point.
Yeah, you gotta be on point.
That one was the one at the end you fought against
Apocalypse.
Yes, okay, that one was at
H2. Round two.
Whoever.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. We got another battle over here.
Ooh, that sidestep, though. That was perfectly executed.
So here we got Mike against Matt again, and Mike's using Lei Wulong.
And Beck.
And Beck, and Matt's using Paul. And who else using? Who else using Matt?
Fang.
Fang.
Yahweh.
This Beck's getup reminds me of Kim from King of Fighters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That dude's dirty, Kim is great.
Yeah, yeah, man. Kim is awesome. Oh.
That was sick, man.
Beck's dirty.
That's it.
Beck.
That little side scroll like kick. Super tricky. You don't know if it's going to go up or down. That's the dirty part about it.
Shit.
Oh.
Don't let him chain it, man.
So, John, you played Soul Calibur, right?
Yeah, a little bit here and there.
Who did you use on Soul Calibur?
I was just one of those kids who would pick the coolest character, and for me, that was Nightmare. Or no, you know who was pretty dope? Keelik.
I used Keelik.
Keelik was one of the easy standard default ones. I mean,
yeah.
You wanted to learn the whole Crytek of the game, it would be that guy. I think the one that was the hardest for me, but I loved him so much, was Cervantes.
Cervantes
was so amazing, man. Dude, that dude was so hard to use, but if you had him perfectly, he was dirty. I liked his grabs. How you put the swords in you and then rape you.
I always like to use Maxi.
Maxi was dirty. Dope. Maxi was dirty.
So it's like Mike took that second round, so it looks like it's going to come down to that
final finish right here.
Final round again, like normal.
Is Mike already one up on him?
No, we're tied.
Oh. No, I'm talking about the earlier match.
No, Matt.
Matt took it?
Yeah.
How do you like foot to face time?
How do you like my
I think the first time I saw Cervantes, man. He had that gun sword, and he used it on me. I was like, how do you do that? I freaked out when he did that, and I was like, dude,
that was dirty, Mike.
I have to figure this out. Never did, though.
No. It's like that guy that you're using, Beck, he doesn't have the...
That's
what I get.
The chase. You gotta make those tags safe. That's
what it was. Alright, so we're gonna cut this live stream just because it's been going on for quite a while now. And let's talk a little bit of King of Fighters.
King of Fighters, dude. Oh, my gosh. My favorite thing about King of Fighters is that the characters are all different. They're all, like, you have your Ryu and Ken archetypes.
But in that game, the Ryu and Ken archetypes are just, they're just not as strong, man. It's their original character designs, like their Kims, their Terrys, Andys, you know, Kaio Iori, Vanessa.
Vanessa.
A lot of these characters, Leona, Ralph, and Clark, you know, these characters are just super original, and it's a fun game to play. And it's very different than Street Fighter, you know?
What's the biggest difference, you would say?
The biggest difference is that there's not a...
You take away two buttons, and the combo system, instead of, you jump in with hard punch, standing hard punch, fireball, in this one, you jump in with hard punch... Standing hard push, and then you hit forward like a command move, and that would extend your combo, and that's how you kind of connect stuff. So
it flows.
And there's opportunities to extend certain things, you know, and be a little crazy with that game.
So
So which one do you get more creative with, Street Fighter, or would you get more
Street
creative
Fighter?
With?
When you do it, you feel good that you get that input. In King of Fighters, when you get it down, it looks pretty, it feels pretty. Like, the combos that I would do in 2001 with Vanessa, and then if I had someone as the backup.
Yeah, it just...
Like, I do this thing where she grabs him by the back of their neck. She's a boxer, so she grabs him by the back of the neck, and she'll gut punch him, like, twice, and throw him back. And when they're flying back...
Was that the chick with short hair?
Red hair, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I got it. I
she was wearing a dress shirt with a tie.
I remember that girl, yeah. So she would hit you and throw you back, and when you're flying back, I would have my homie come in, and jump kick you, and then throw you back towards her, and then I would do a super combo, and it once you when you get it all like that, it looks beautiful, dude.
That sounds sick.
I will say he opened my eyes to that whole mechanic. I knew nothing of that shit. And I was like, how are you doing this, dude? Like,
you know? Teach me your way.
Yeah, I was like, I had to win without it. Like, it was terrible.
It's a lot of fun. It was terrible. Dude. Like, the thing about it is, like, like, when you see Zangief, you see him, and he's a big, huge motherfucker, and you know that when you get close, you're going to get schooled with some grabs.
Yeah, you're going to get a finger somewhere.
Yeah, but when you see,
you're
like,
not gonna like it.
When you see Clark and T-Zoc, they don't look as menacing as he is, but they put the damage out just the same, dude. Clark is badass. He's just wearing tactical vest, some glasses, and a Burmy.
Oh, is that cat? Okay.
Yeah, dude, okay. Just grabs you, chunks you in the air, catches you with that backbreaker, throws you down ugly, man.
So, King of Fighters, what's the difference between King of Fighters and Fatal Fury?
Between King of Fighters and Fatal Fury, there's not very big of a difference. It's kind of running off of the same system, with the exception that there are no super combos.
It's a grand scale, man.
It's a grand scale, you say?
It's just on a bigger scale. The thing about KOF is it combines basically all the greatest hits of SNK and kind of puts it into a fighting game.
Yeah, I would definitely say that, you know. One thing I do like is with Fatal Fury, everything is more precise and more compact, but it looks a lot better, you know. It feels a lot prettier when you get it down.
Sexier.
You get into the later versions, you know, like 12 and 13, and it's honestly, it was the pinnacle of what those characters looked like and how they flowed and how that game played.
Oh, no.
It's just fun. It's a lot of fun, you know.
So let's start talking about some of these fringe fighting games that
fringe fights?
That maybe a lot of people wouldn't have played. For instance, like a Rival Schools or a Project Justice.
Now, Rival Schools, some people might have played it. It was available at Peter Piper's. It was awesome at the time. It was great. That's the game where in this fighting game, well, there's a dubious, heinous...
Well, let me set it up, man, because at the time, it was mostly 2D fighting games. The 3D really hadn't come to fruition.
Right.
And it was about maybe Tekken 1 or Tekken 2. This is before Part 3, which honestly revolutionized.
This is, right around Tekken 3, but Capcom had their answer for that, which was Rival Schools.
Which was Rival Schools. And what they did is they made it tag you. It's basically 2-on-2. You play one character the whole round, but they made this move available to you that cost 2 bars that your partner would come in. And it was basically a super tag combo that looked, every one of them was pretty fucking cool. You know, whether it was a super hyper combo that took off a lot of life, there was power-ups, there was even some that took away from you, some that gave you enough combo meter to just get crazy with the game. And I think that's what made that game the most fun, is it was basically the right way to play 3D for Capcom, the perfect way to play it.
Yeah, I mean, we had that game and we played the crap out of it. I know we really liked that one. Another
real quick, hold on. I got a question for these guys. Okay, I don't know the name of it, and I was trying to think of it right now. Maybe it was Rival Schools, but I don't think it was. And I think it started with an E.
Energized.
It had Seth Roth.
Energized.
Vincent Valentine.
Yeah. That was a pretty tight one.
That was pretty fun, man.
Sick game, dude.
I will say, though, that
the fighting sequence was weird because the camera would zoom out, right?
Yeah. Well, it was weird because you had full range of your character control with one knob, but it was 3D. So the way you kind of turned is where you aim.
Yeah, and in most fighting games, the characters stay face-to-face even when you hit back. But in Energize, you run away from your character, and he literally puts his back, and he's running away, climbing obstacles and stuff like that. So.
Kind of like Power Stone, but Power Stone was above and beyond.
Yeah.
Energize.
I will say this about Rival Schools is that the wow factor when we first saw what that game could do, we were literally hooked. Every time we went to Peter Piper's mindset, we had to play that shit.
So going back, you know, to that, in this game, there's a dubious student council that's, you know, they're the bad guys. They're behind the scenes or whatever. So this one group of cats at the main school, they're like, hey, you know, students are disappearing and whatnot. We got to find out what's going on. Let's go kick some ass. Well, there are different schools that specialize in different things. Like, there's a school that's known for its sports. So there's a baseball guy, a soccer dude, and a volleyball chick.
Shoma Roberto and Natsu.
So then there's another school that's known to have a bad rep, and they're like gang members. So there's Edge, the dude that fights with knives, Gon, the big sumo dude, and Akira, the biker chick with the skull helmet.
That's, but you don't think she's a biker chick. I remember first seeing that character, I was like, I want to be that fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I want to learn how to play with that thing. Yeah.
And then there's their take on Americans, the Pacific High School, which is Roy Bromwell, Tiffany Starlet,
Big Titty,
and Bowman.
Yeah, me so.
Well, I'm telling
Bowman,
you.
Bowman, like, they're all badass characters, but Bowman was cool, dude. Bowman's this big black dude with a blonde mohawk. And he just looks snazzy, though, in a blue suit with white slacks.
And his punch is fucking
that
hurt.
Dude gets the job done, dude. It's badass. Well, like he's saying, with the team attack moves, to go off of it just a little bit, for the sports school, if you're any of the two guys and the volleyball chick is your partner, when you do your move, you'll serve it up to her,
yeah,
like a volleyball, you know? Boom, boom, and they go in the air. And down comes that spike. Well, baseball man's waiting on the other side and cranks it with the bat, and you go flying, dude.
Yeah.
Knocks the shit out of you.
Wow, that's pretty damn cool.
Hell yeah, dude. And a lot of them were cool because, like, the gang member ones, they'll hold you, and the other dude's just chucking
beating
you
the
up,
shit
dude,
out
beating
you.
The shit out of you.
So let's talk about another favorite of ours, Sega Genesis, Eternal Champions.
Beautiful. Oh. Beautiful fucking game. The thing about that game was, to me, it was just... It just needed a little bit more tweaking, and then it would have been a perfect fucking game. In my opinion, I held it in a higher regard than I held Mortal Kombat. Because, to me, the characters were awesome. The stages were beautiful. The sound was great. Mortal Kombat's never really had a good soundtrack other than Mortal Kombat 2. But even the story for this game was awesome. It was about this living being has brought certain people from time back to life, and
all
throughout time.
Like,
all the way
I think the furthest is the caveman,
and the future is a cyborg.
A cyborg kickboxer.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? And that's the thing about it. They kind of were able, with that concept, to get all kinds of different characters, you know? And, like, one was a cat burglar, and then there was a guy from Atlantis who lost his hand in a duel with a shark, and so he had a trident on his hand. There was a guy
who was accused of being a warlock in alchemy, so they burned him at the stake.
There, he was an alchemist. There's a vampire. There was a bounty hunter from the future. A high-rise performer from, like, the circus and stuff. A ninja.
Assassin, yeah, ninja assassin.
So,
The thing about this game is, like, this being is bringing these people back to life because right before they were going to die, they were about to write a very heinous wrong in their lives, but they died before they got the chance to do so. So he's bringing them back to fight each other, and whoever wins gets to keep their life and right that wrong.
And mind you, like, fighting him at the end was so fucking jank, dude. Like, you would have to beat him, I can't remember, it's 4 or 5 times.
God,
and it's a round, one round, like, 5 times, right, with just your health. And every time you beat him, you get a little bit back. I think it's like
15%. That's like pretty much what games do nowadays.
I mean, you know, it's
That's pretty damn hard for back in the day.
And you want to go off of that, and if you lost, you have to go back 2 levels.
Anytime in the arcade, like, if you lost, you'd have to go back 2 characters and work your way back up. And if you lost to that guy both times at the end, game's over, dude. You don't get a second chance.
Dang.
So, but at the time, it was one of
you
these games.
Code, you're not collecting
one of these games trying to compete with Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, because those were the big ones out there. You know, those were the Goliaths that people were just trying to, not copy, so to speak, but kind of just steal some of that, you know, that essence.
Pizazz,
and, that they were working with. And this game did it pretty well. I mean, it kept you interested. The moves were pretty heavy. I remember there was a move with the cat burglar to where you would jump in and punch him with hard punch, and then you hit all 3 punches, and he just, a flurry of punches, it's like 6 in a row. And
he just starts swinging for the fences,
like, da, da,
but
da,
the
da,
thing
da,
about
da,
it
da.
Is that he's wearing brass knuckles,
oh. So,
and it's all in your face, clack, 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 yeah. And they just, like, fly back, and he looks ugly.
And it's a solid game, man, and one that I still enjoy playing to this day.
My favorite thing about it was the kickboxer, the cyborg kickboxer.
And what was the name of this one again?
Eternal Champions.
Okay.
The cyborg kickboxer.
Mind you, the only iteration we're playing is the Sega Genesis version, because they did Sega CD, and they got really ridiculous
crappy
characters, and, you know, it went the wrong way.
So what about Killer Instinct now? You know, Killer Instinct has been out for a long time. They actually, now they have the newer version of it.
The 2013 version.
Which is beautiful and fun to fucking play, man. Like, way to hit it out of the park. Like, if you were looking to breathe life into that old license, oh, they hit it out of the park. It's a lot of fun. I think the thing that gets people into Killer Instinct is the fact that you're able to do so much fucking flashy shit with minimal effort. And, you know, when I first picked up the game, I was button mashing, and, you know, Matt and Marvin were like, hey, you don't need to do that.
this game isn't that complicated, but it's a lot of fun, you know? And them reinventing the characters as far as Jago and Fulgore and stuff like that, all that good stuff, that memorabilia is there, but it's the newer shit and the things mm-hmm. they're doing, like the combo breaker system now, like, you can actually have a chance to you pay attention to what buttons your characters, your enemy's using, and if you hit that corresponding button, you can break combos, but also, they can counter your combo breaker. It's a very, very awesome guessing game. Like,
one of the things that's awesome about it is that since Microsoft is the one that acquired that license, for those of you that don't know, a lot of guest characters are in it. So the Arbiter from Halo is one of the guest characters. He fights with an energy sword.
General Rom.
He can do plasma grenades, and he has a carbine.
General Rom
from Gears of War. He is a character.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude, and that's the thing. They don't take themselves too seriously. And I feel like they balance the game just enough for everybody to have fun, no matter your playstyle. If you're a super heavy guy or you just like to be flashy, you like to keep away, whatever it is, all the tools are there and they're all fun.
The thing about that game is that when you play Street Fighter, when you pick a character, you look for a certain playstyle. You know, like if you're Ryu, you're going to throw fireballs to keep them back, and then when they get close, you're going to do like an uppercut or something. You know, you have a very specific playstyle with Killer Instinct. Each of those characters represents a play style. Like, if you like to do this, this is the character you should use. If you want to rush down, this is the character you should use. You can use a character in almost any different way that you want to, but some characters are built for that. Like, Glacius can lay ice spikes, and like he can call in like hail, you know, things like that.
Basically, he's setting up his attack. He doesn't just rush you down. He has to set up things for a certain way for that, so that when he does open you up, oh, it's just, you fucked up. You
know? Well, we used to play Samurai Showdown all the time.
Oh, man. Sam Show?
Okay. Yeah, and Samurai Showdown, you always felt like you were one wrong move away from, like, dying.
Hell yeah.
Well, especially when you started flashing red.
Yeah, like, when you were pissed off.
You knew you were done. You're just like, no!
Well, the thing about that was when you got all that meter built up, the pile, you hit harder. I think you also took a little bit of extra damage, but you hit way harder.
Oh, yeah.
So it made you be a little bit more precise.
Rage gauge is always my favorite.
Fuck it. When I was a young kid and I was playing Samurai Showdown, you're like, sword, I'm going to swing this shit everywhere and see what I can hit, right? Well, there's two sides to that, you know? Like, when you swing heavy, bing, you hit somebody and they block it. You have a lot of time to recover, so it's their game. And that's where the extra damage comes in. I don't know if you've played it, but if somebody hits you with a counter hit, it takes off a lot of life in that original one. So, you know, they really wanted you to play the game like it was an actual sword fighting, you know?
Or fighting, actually, you know, with weapons, yeah.
And as the game evolved, man, they made it just more interesting. In part two, I remember you could break each other's weapons. And
I remember that,
but
yeah.
But once you did it, there was a plus because you got access to this weaponless move that was just fucking awesome. Like, the main character in Samurai Shodown's name's Haramaru. I think everybody kind of knows what I'm talking about. He has the big hair,
yeah.
The katana, the white suit with the red bands and stuff. Well, when he breaks his weapon, he has this move. You have to time it just fucking perfect. But say a guy swings at you, he catches the blade with his hands, and he flips you over for an ultimate defeat, dude. Like, it's one of the best moves in the game. Like, fucking
that
awesome.
That was dirty.
You know what I mean? They balanced it in such a way, so even if you lose your weapon, you still have a fighting chance. Like, fear me, motherfucker, because I will catch your shit and, yeah, turn it on.
Yeah, judo flip.
So we've talked a lot of fighting games. We haven't talked a few, actually, that are actually big games. So Mortal Kombat's one of them. We've mentioned it, but we haven't really discussed Mortal Kombat. So,
well, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, Mortal Kombat, you know, okay, look, I'll go all the way back to the time for
definitely,
me.
Man.
When Mortal Kombat first came out and Street Fighter first came out, there were two different beasts. Of course, a lot of people were like, oh my god, blood, fatalities. You know, you didn't have that in Street Fighter. But it was awesome seeing people fight in Street Fighter because, you know, it wasn't none of this weird, you know, just uppercuts and just sweep kicks and someone just punching forward and hitting someone in the face.
Yeah.
Street Fighter actually bounced back and forth between, you know, the screen, you know. Mortal Kombat was just more of three basic characters to me. It was Sub-Zero. It was Sub-Zero, Scorpion, and maybe Liu Kang or Raiden. That's the only ones I ever saw whenever I'd go to the arcades.
Yeah.
I never would see anything else.
Very right.
You go to Street Fighter. You know, I remember going to H-E-B right there. What is it?
Harris?
The port one.
Yeah.
Before it.
Yeah.
Before
and they had Street Fighter 2?
Yeah. And like,
I think that store had every version of it.
People would go there. Eventually, they turned it off.
They turn. They would turn off that the damn arcade. But you would see everybody use every single character.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just see the same five characters, like I just mentioned.
I think in Mortal Kombat, the appeal of the ninjas alone was just, you know, you had to at least try it.
Yeah.
You know? Raiden, who doesn't want to fucking throw lightning at somebody, you know? Yeah,
I mean, but catching people with that dive and mid-jump, it was the best.
I don't know what he says.
Or like Liu Kang.
Yeah, the dick in your butt. Hold on, that one more time.
You're the one with the dick in your butt.
So has the new Mortal Kombat recaptured the feeling of the old?
I will say this, man. Like, as far as MK, you know, from where it was and how just unoverproduced it was. I mean, you look at Street Fighter at the time, it was a very stylized anime programmed, you know, finished product, you know? And Mortal Kombat was this rough, like, you can tell they were just chipping away images in the back so that way these realistic characters were just, you know, functional. From it going to that, to Mortal Kombat 2, and by the way, just real quick, I didn't believe my older brother when he came home and told me that Mortal Kombat 2 existed. He had gone to the movies, and he came home, dude, Mortal Kombat 2 is at the arcades. I said, no fucking way. Yeah, Liu Kang turns into a dragon. That's bullshit.
Yeah,
like, no way that. He turns into a dragon, dude. And I saw it myself, and yeah, that was the thing about Mortal Kombat is every time you see these characters, they take it to the next level. After a while, it fell off. And it wasn't as potent, and you feel like you played it before, and there's no need to dive into it. But with 9, you know, MK9 before 10, they hit it right in the fucking, like, right, they hit the nail right on the head, man. They did justice to the classic 3 games that we love. They retold it in a brand new, fresh way. They made it super presentable and polished, and they made it 2D. You know, no more of the sidestep bullshit. They took it back to the roots, man, of what it was, and they made it work, fun, the X-ray system, the brutalities, the fatalities, like, it was all good vibes, you know? And then you get to 10, and I'll let Matt speak on that, because he owns the game, and he fucking...
With 10, like, you know, going off of everything that was just said for 9, 10 is that times 2. You know, the story mode is amazing. It's a lot of fun. You get to play through most of all of the characters, and you see that their story and where it goes and how it goes. The only thing I don't really like about the story and the characters for 10 is the kids, you know, like Jax's kid and Johnny Cage's kid and you know, it's like, okay, that's cool, but these, like, they're lame. I playing the game, I didn't, just like playing Gears 4 story, I didn't feel any connection whatsoever to these characters. I didn't give a shit if they lived or died. I was just like, okay.
See, it's so weird because I think the last real MK I played was either Ultimate, or I think it was 4.
4? Okay.
After that, I was like, you know what? This is crap. And I just didn't want to play them no more.
You know what? It was Deadly Alliance.
Deadly Alliance was the one that kind
of... Yeah. Believe it or not, like, Deadly Alliance was one of the best-selling MK games. Like, wow, you really? Know, it even outsold Part 4.
Yeah.
And that's...
Wow, really? Yeah. Interesting.
Deadly Alliance.
So, cool. So let's... I think we've talked a lot of them, and that's why I wanted y'all on here, but let's run down some that we may have missed. Okay, so I know we missed Bloody Roar.
Bloody Roar was
what
awesome,
else?
Man.
What else?
Dead or Alive for me was awesome.
Yeah, Dead or Alive.
Oh, man.
Dead or Alive.
I remember I learned so much off this guy right here, your brother Mike. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Well, hold on. We'll talk about Dead or Alive in a little while. Okay. What else?
I don't know if you would consider it a fighting game, but Smash Brothers?
Absolutely. Absolutely, dude. Like, Smash Bros.
In the latest versions of it, there are aspects of it that would consider it a fight.
What about Injustice?
Injustice is so much fun to play.
Okay, so
people get so mad at me for using Deathstroke, remember?
Fuck them.
But I had an unbeatable strat.
That's the thing. Man, like, and I'm going to build off that
people
note.
People hated me.
I'm going to build off that note, man. In every fighting game, there is always a way to beat something. You just have to know how to do it.
And as much as they would be like, oh, here's the same move, but whenever they would do something else to me, I would hit them back with a move that I've been holding back the whole time.
That's
fighting vipers.
Someone mentioned that earlier at work.
I never really got into that one.
What about Primal Rage?
Oh, that's mad shit, dude. Like, he's just scraping like 7 cans of words.
I could never get the concept of it because I was so busy wanting to step on people.
I just wanted to fart and burp on people. And dude, Matt, like, just knew all the combos.
Like,
I could never
saying,
do it.
That was, like Mike was saying earlier, that Street Fighter was his magnum opus, that he would see people play it. I would watch people play Primal Rage and I was just in awe of the spectacle that was going on.
Old Peter Parker.
Like, dude. Yeah, dude. And then when I finally got my hands on the game, yes. You ask this dude, I was brutal with yeah. that game.
That
dude.
Game, I just didn't understand it.
The Raptor, I was good with the Raptor, but I was fucking unstoppable with the... Triceratops type thing. Yeah.
Okay, so what else? I mean, come on, we gotta.
Okay, there was a couple of games that like Time Splitters. I don't know if you remember that one. The guy, like, it was basically kind of the concept of Eternal Champions, but it was made by the same guys as Mortal Kombat, and one dude had a chainsaw.
Okay,
what else?
War Gods.
War Gods was pretty brutal.
Okay,
pretty
come on, come on. What else? Bad. What else we got? Come on. I know we gotta be missing some that. That we
Psychic
haven't even
Forces.
Thought.
Psychic Forces was a lot of fun. It was a game that was on Dreamcast. It was an arena fighter. It was cool. You and the other character were floating, and you used like lightning or fire and shit. And then when you got close, you actually threw blows, and so you knocked them back. And then when they flew back, you did it again. Plasma sword.
Well, I got one. Let's see if y'all consider this actual fighter.
Okay.
Bushido Blade.
Oh my
Fuck god. Oh yeah, yes, Bushido Blade.
Dude.
Are you
yes.
kidding me?
Yes.
Bushido so Blade stories. Was badass. Yes.
That literally
dude.
Is the one
the
where like,
quarter,
yeah, you yes. can, you could actually die.
I wish we had some of these games so we could show some of these people who don't know anything about this
Bushido
shit.
Bushido Blade
but
was amazing.
Honestly,
there
was
remember,
you get your legs cut, you're just there on the ground like,
yeah. Yeah, that game, it was a real samurai sword fighting simulator. Like, if you get your arm cut, you can't use that shit. If you get your leg cut, you can't use that shit. If you get cut in the head, guess what?
You're
done, man.
Okay, so what else? What else are we missing?
We got a great story about Bushido Blade. So check this out. During the days of time travel back to Blockbuster, we fucking rented. We rented Bushido Blade. Me and my brother. My mom was like, "You guys can get a game." It was back in the PS1 days or whatever.
Check this shit out.
So we got this game, and back in the days, dude, it was either Nieves' house, our house, or it was Jesus. And everybody would meet there, and we would just play a game. Like,
no matter whose house, yeah.
No matter whose house
somebody
was.
Somebody got a game, and we'd sit there and just play it until...
So, Battle Arena... Bushido Blade.
No, he's Battle Arena Toshi in the Honorable Mention.
Yeah, Honorable Mention. Yeah. But Bushido Blade, so check it out. Everyone's playing. Everyone found their character. Everyone found their strat. Now we're in it. Everyone's on the same level.
We know how to play the game. We're playing.
Everyone knows how to play. We're having fun. Right?
I think I was running the table.
He was running the table. The running the table goes like this: winner stays, loser pays. That's
Absolutely.
What it's called. So losers walked off. They got a chance to fight the
gracefully,
winner.
Mind you. Like when we were playing, like okay, I lost. Here's the control, bro.
We
no
would,
worries, right?
Of course, we were kids. We got upset, but it wasn't like. Hey, you know, we lost.
It's like you're ugly, but damn, you're sexy and cute. Here's
it just unplugs your control and walks away.
We would lose, and then, you know, like you said, gracefully pass controller. So, Jesus.
I'm playing Jesus, dude.
Mike
and
Jesus are playing. Jesus has chosen a character that has two swords. Mike chose a guy that has two swords, and he has one on his sash.
Hell yeah.
So.
Hell yeah.
I was next. And everybody was patiently waiting for me because the line goes after that, right?
I think we duked it out pretty
so
decently.
So him and
you
Jesus,
know?
It was neck and neck, bro. Arm, arm, leg, leg. They were
yeah.
both
we
like,
were limping and fucking just swinging at each other.
It was pretty evenly matched.
Yeah.
And then Jesus throws, Mike parries and stabs, and everyone lost it. Everyone was like, "Yeah, dude, good job, bro." And I went like this, "Yeah, pass that shit." And Jesus was all, "No, one more." And I was like,
"No,
oh,
one more time.
What?
You broke the cycle. No, one more time."
Everyone was like, "What? No." And he
like,
goes, no.
Hey, dude, pass it,
one
man.
More time. He goes, pass it. He goes, no. He's like, "All right.
All right, motherfucker.
It's all right.
Let's
go." So then, fight. This motherfucker pulls the sword that's on his sash, throws it into Jesus'
head. That's right.
Head.
That dude would throw it.
Headshot killed. We're all, pass it.
Pass that fucking shit.
Everybody lost it.
I forgot that dude. Yeah, he would throw it. Honestly, one of the funniest games, man.
Dude,
like,
it happened. We're all going to get some 7-Up, bitch.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do because we're hitting close to the mark. So
okay. We're
going to say nobody even talked about Marvel vs. Capcom.
We did in the beginning.
Yeah.
Infinite.
Yeah.
We talked about Infinite, but not about the classic one.
We didn't talk about the classic one, though?
No.
Moved on,
sorry.
No? Okay.
Well, I mean, if you want to.
No, it's okay. Let's, Matt's going to talk about Injustice, and then Mike's going to talk about DOA, and then from there we're going to go to something real quick. So
okay.
So Injustice is pretty badass. It's a The guys who made Mortal Kombat made a DC fighting game.
Very well.
Actually really well. You know, I was skeptical when it first came out, and
Expecting another like Mortal Kombat DC type
game.
Yeah,
because
they were like, "Fuck that! We're making."
For those of you that don't know, the guys who made Mortal Kombat did put out a Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, and there was a lot of hype on it. You know, everybody wanted in on it, and when we finally got our hands on it, it was crap, dude.
Garbage.
It was doo-doo.
Doody.
Yeah, doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
So when they announced, you know, Injustice, Gods Among Us, everyone was like, oh, man, their last venture with DC wasn't too good. Let's see how it goes. Well, we finally got our hands on it, and it was beautiful, you know.
It was awesome. Deathstroke was amazing.
It was
unbeatable, though.
That's one thing I will say is that their character selection was really for fans, man. You know, Green Lantern, Sinestro, Solomon Grundy. You know,
Solomon Grundy
Communications.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. Me and Mike, we worked at the bar,
mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, for a while before he got hired on, we would go over there. I would go over there. Everybody would continue drinking, of course, and we'd sit down and play. And I started whooping everybody. I've never played it before, and I started whooping ass with Deathstroke. Well, I played like the way I played with Cable off of
NBC
off of, too. Yeah, NBC, and they couldn't beat me. And eventually, you know, yeah, they would close the distance, and then I'd use a stage, or I would use the sword. And they would be pissed. And I'm like, you guys think I'm good? I suck at fighting games. I was like, wait till my boy gets hired and comes and just destroys y'all. This dude goes over for the first time, and we all fight like Goku. We lose the first round, so we learn how to they fight. This dude is using Solomon Grundy.
Yeah.
And the whole time, like, I kept asking people, like, can somebody please finish the combo? Like, I want to hear the full thing.
Oh yeah.
And
I
told Mike to do it. And they're like, nah, he can't do it. I'm like,
oh yeah.
I just remember looking at him
multiple times.
And he looks at me and smiles, dude, and he just fucking ripped it. Solomon Grundy. And everybody was just like,
I'm a repeat offender, man.
Dude, it was ugly. After that, he like,
okay, so let's shift gears to Dead or Alive.
Okay. I didn't play the first Dead or Alive, but I did start with the second on Dreamcast.
Oh yeah.
And man, I remember, I mean, I was like 16, 17 at the time when Dreamcast had first come out. And I think it was one of the first titles my brother had purchased. And not only myself, but his friends, we all kind of just sat around this one game.
The beauty about this console, the Dreamcast, is that it was one of the first ones to have four-player connectivity to it. And in this game itself, there was a tag option where two guys could fight another two guys right there on the couch. And it wasn't whoever loses one character is out. It's if this guy dies, your second guy, who is your buddy next to you, has a chance to beat them both up. So all of us, we had a good amount of time playing with and against each other in this game.
It was the system and the way the game is set up is you do a lot of badass shit with minimal effort, and you connect a lot of combos.
Sick ass,
you know, and that was the thing about it. I mean, you look like a badass just doing little minute commands, you know. Not only that, and then you add the counter system to where you turn your opponent's offense into your offense. That plus the walls, like that you could break the stage transitions.
Yeah,
I mean, kicking a motherfucker into a canister and they blow up, you're like, man, you suck.
I think the first one I started playing was 3 when I was on the Xbox.
I think that's when it really, really took off.
And I remember I would play all the time, and I was like, man, this game's awesome. So, you know, told Mike about it. Hey, man, I got this fighting game. Come check it out. Came over there. Obviously, he already had played it. And then, because I find out that he's going easy on me because all he's doing is parrying. I'm like, dude, how do you keep doing it? How do you know all these moves? Simplest thing. All you do is push, like, what was it? Like, block and up.
You push
back
and
X.
Yeah. And I was like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, man.
And then we went online, and then Mike just destroyed everybody. But I remember the one character that was just so much fun was Leon, I think.
He was just...
Because he could just grab you and just roll you on the ground, arm bar, roll you back over, do another grab, and then punch you in the back of the head, and then just push you away. I was like, dude, like...
I remember in 3, there was this stage called Mountaintops... And it was like just a skyscraper of just stones and natural formations. And you could, with Leon particularly, he did this move where he would backhand you and then back kick you, and it would put you into a juggle state. And then you push grab with him, and he just grabs you and you chunks you off of this fucking face cliff, dude. And before the camera even switches to the character falling, he's like way down there.
To put that into a visualization for you,
yeah.
Leon firmly plants his hand into your ass, and his other hand is on your spine, and then he heave-hoes your ass down at like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You hit that pavement dirty. In this case, it's the floating Hallelujah Mountains. You just go, whee! The clouds are still there.
I forgot about that scene.
Yeah, man. More
ugly.
So, that was the thing, just the prettiness, the polishness, and the accessibility to that game. It made it so much fun.
My boss was hard.
I think one of my bullshit. One of my favorite characters on there was Ryu Hayabusa.
Yes.
Hayate. And so
and they brought him back in the Ninja Gaiden.
Actually that's where I'm going, because me and Mike spent a lot of time playing Ninja Gaiden.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And Black.
Yeah.
Oh. I think I beat it. I don't remember.
I got pretty far in Black, but that game is just so hard.
I never beat that game.
I want to say I did beat. Who's the boss? Is it the chick?
No, it's the guy from the beginning with the nunchucks. He goes.
Yeah.
He goes Oni form and he tries to nunchuck you to death, but he can't stand up to the dragon sword. What's wrong with this dude?
That game was freaking awesome. Yeah, it was so hard.
I couldn't even beat the second stage.
I beat the second game on hard.
Yeah. You know what? I did beat the first one because I went and bought the second one to play that one.
I beat the original Ninja Gaiden, and then part two, man, I got pretty far in it. I just never finished it.
That game was so ridiculous.
Never finished it, but it's a lot of fun. Like I said, the Team Ninja just made it super easy for you to look fucking awesome in these games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and
I used to love the use. I mean, he had the Kama, he had the Nunchucks.
The Lunar Staff,
the Tonfas. The Tonfas.
My favorite is the second one. I like the Tonfas, I like the Talons, and then I like the Scythe.
The big Scythe,
sick,
yeah.
The Scythe was sick.
Man, it was so cool. That game was so hard because they had guns. You were actually like, you know, we'd play ninja games, you'd be like, oh, they have guns, but you're like killing them. Like, no.
Yeah.
And this one, they're like, they just shoot the shit out of you.
And they have grenade launchers, grenade launchers,
everything. It was like ridiculous.
What boss it was in the cathedral. I could not beat that bitch.
Oh, the chick.
I hated her. Like, I wanted to take the CD out and throw it. And I think you told me not to do it.
Like, don't do it.
I was like, dude, fuck
it
this
gets better. Just beat her.
Fuck this fucking guy. I can't beat her.
So
I will say that it does test your patience, but
that game did.
When you finish the game, you feel fucking uber badass. Mm-hmm. You're like, dude, I conquered something that.
Now the last game I'm going to talk about is a classic, and so since I have my brothers here with me, that's it. We're going to end with Hunter: The Reckoning.
Oh my god,
that's fun. That's fun 4-player goodness,
dude.
Man.
Dude, we played that game all night long.
It's a horror game, and you get to pick certain different character archetypes, and you level up. There's a team, not a team. It's fucking fun.
It's a
Father Esteban Cortez, dude. You don't remember?
That was me.
It was on Xbox, right? It was a PS2, Xbox One.
And it played kind of like a Gauntlet Legends style.
Yeah, I remember it now.
You
fight creatures of the night.
Yeah.
So in this game, there's this.
You had the book, right?
Yeah, he would walk around with the book.
Yeah.
And his sword was a cross. And then he had the crossbow and he had the holy light powers.
I remember, dude. Okay, I remember that.
So every time, I forgot who would do it. They would go, Spirito Santo.
Yeah, dude. Remember we came. Was that right before one of my first tours?
I think so.
I think I would use the chick that had the ninja sword and the two pistols.
The chick with the sword, but she had a magnum.
Okay, yeah, she had a magnum.
And then you used the dude that had the axe and the Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
And our fourth, I don't remember who our fourth was. I think it might have been Steven. It was the chick with the...
I remember that game.
Those, badass knives.
You know what? I do remember. Because y'all had jaws. Because y'all were leveling y'all up. And you were like, sorry, man, it's the only character left.
Dude, we would play that game all night long.
Hell yeah.
So it played like Gauntlet, or it played like Baldur's Gate.
Which was way fucking
Baldur's
awesome.
Baldur's Gate was bad.
Like top down, and there was like undead creatures, and you had to work together as four, and you'd go through all these levels, and you'd shoot them, and you'd use, you know, your special powers.
Summon your eagle power.
It's called conviction.
Yeah, that's what it was called.
Your conviction.
So man, you know, we're right at the end now. John had to skedaddle on, so he's actually not in the cave anymore. So we're gonna go ahead and sign off. We had a good time tonight.
Had an awesome time.
Yeah, man.
Had some good talks.
Felt good.
Come back.
That's awesome. Yeah, and you know, definitely we'll have to get the guys back in here, and we'll delve into some other topics.
Oh, definitely.
Our next podcast, yes, will be Rogue One,
because
we're gonna go see it on Thursday.
We're gonna have to give these people a week, man. We gotta give him a week.
Well, you know, we can give him a spoiler-free review. We can just say, like, if we liked it, you know, how, what we liked about it. We don't have to get crazy. Exactly.
I had an orgasm.
So,
I just dissed myself.
So for myself, Anthony, for
Steven, man, thanks a lot for hearing.
Mike, thanks for having us.
Brother Mike.
It's me, Matt.
Mm. And Brother Matt, and for JD, for Johnny Danger, who's not here. We will see you guys next week.
Peace out. Take it easy.